It's encouraging to see Yidden get together. Every time I come to another such event, I'm amazed that Yidden get together to be beat up. Nobody's coming here to figure out how he's going to make more money. They're figuring out if everything they're doing is the right way or the wrong way, and maybe something they hear will actually make them have to change their pattern, and therefore maybe potentially make less money. Many, many summits and business conferences around the world are all about figuring out how to make more money. The people here come here to hear what the Torah says about making money. And that's amazing, something to be proud of. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echot ba'aretz. I heard that they were planning to get 200 people to get beat up, and 350 people showed up. So, it's an amazing event, and hopefully we'll be able to share something that will make a difference. The topic is about competition and poaching. Obviously, we live in an environment that's very competitive. You know, 50 years ago, I think, you know, in the Jewish world, it wasn't so competitive. Someone opened a grocery, it was good. We live in a very, very competitive environment. And competition has become very, very difficult and challenging, and everybody has become much more aggressive. And really, to make it, they say, we need to be aggressive. So, the challenge of competition and poaching is real. It's a real challenge. And we always have to go back to the basics. And the basics are that, yes, it's true. While it's true, our livelihood depends on our actions. But ultimately, our actions are only actions. The Rebbein Shem really calls the shots. And while we think that we'll be successful if we act in a certain way, we may not be as successful as we think. The Rebbein Shem may have a different opinion. Rabois machshavois belev ish va'atzas Hashem hisokom. So we have to be careful when we're going to do business to make sure to do it with the proper attitude of bitochen, the Rebbein Shlom, and knowing that ultimately he is the one who zon umefanes lakoil. The Beis HaLevi has a famous letter. It's called Igeres HaBitochen. Today there's even an English book put out by Rabbi Sutton on this Igeres HaBitochen of the Beis HaLevi. Something could die for everybody to read once. But I want to just read a couple of lines from this sefer in this Igeres HaBitochen, and he says, "Ubeze yuvan tos ha'anoshim ma'oiskim v'hishtadlus she'ein ho'ilech al derech ha'toyreh." He says, with what I said before, one will understand the mistake that many people make when they make efforts to bring a livelihood that the Torah is against. And what do they do? He says they're oivin the averus of gezel, stealing, oino, cheating people, and or as we'll see, unfair competition, or taking away something that the other person already made the efforts. We call it the sugya of oni ma'apel b'charora, as we'll explain in the future, in this year. So he says people do this, they make this mistake. And if you ask them, they'll all tell you, it's wrong. We know it's wrong. But what should we do? We need to earn a livelihood. What should we do? We're desperate. And it's something we hear every day, and we live with every day. Yes, we're desperate. We need a lot of money. We live in the highest percentile of the entire nation. The top 10 percentile of the nation makes $100,000. Tell me which frum family can afford to live below the top 10 percentile of it. It's against all odds. I look around Lakewood and I say, if I had I have to count $100,000 for every person, every head in Lakewood. You can't do without it. It's amazing. It defies reason. It's a subject for itself. I heard Baltimore's lifestyle is a little toned down. Baruch Hashem. But it's so difficult. So the Beis HaLevi says, what am I supposed to do? The guy says. So listen what the Beis HaLevi says. Rak tshuvosayhu. Ki muchrach. Hu muchrach b'maisov. That's why he does it. So he says, tshuva gnuvahi. This is a stolen answer. He says, it's a faulty answer. Why? Ki rak machmas she'oisik bin yoinam elu glau kein ein loy panosa acheres. Vim lo yiyya eisik bezeh, ho yemazman loy panosa k'sherim. A person can actually cause that he can only have panosa from doing things that are not honest. By doing it. By entertaining it. So the Moshe says, if this is the way you picked, this is the only way you'll survive. But if you decide that it's not going to be that way, then the Rabbanu Shlalom is zon u'mefanes l'kol. I frequently hear from people, you know, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it seems to be in the people's minds. The first million you have to steal, then you can become honest. Maybe it's a New York way of speaking, but that's the language I hear from people. And the Beis HaLevi says that's a tshuva gnuva. That's not correct. So here we're about to discuss a subject that's sensitive because it's not a typical topic. In law, there's very little about being a mensch. It's called equitable law, right? It's a sugya for itself, but there's very little about being a mensch. If you go to a guy and you talk to him about the problem of competing and poaching, he throws you out the window. That's what life's about. It's the survival of the fittest. Happens to be survival of the fittest is an evolutionary theory, which we don't believe in. But that's what. So we have a Jewish topic called Va'asisa HaYosho V'HaToiv. The Pasuk says that one has to be Yosho V'Toiv. Now, it's very broad. It's something that's subjective. Everybody says, well, I think this is Yosho, I think this is. Chazal codified what they considered Yosho. And one of the things they did was called the topic Oni Mahapur Bechorora, which in literal terms means a poor man is going after a cookie. He's looking, he's a poor man, and there's one cookie to be gotten, and he's trying to get a hold of that cookie, and somebody snatches it away from him. And Chazal say not such nice things about such a person. They call him a Russian. But I want to first make clear what the subject is. In Choshev Mishpat and in law, there's ownership. I own something. If I buy a piece of property and I sign a contract and I record a deed, it's mine. In Choshev Mishpat, if I do Kenyan Kesef, I give money, I do a Kenyan Chazaka, I write a shtar. There's all kinds of halachas when something becomes mine. It's my possession. It's mine. And from there on, if you take it from him, that's theft. That's gnevu. You're stealing something from him. The topic that we're about to talk about is it's not yours. You don't own anything. But Chazal see, you have an attachment to it. There's a reason why you should be preferred over somebody else. you have some kind of connection to this that should cause somebody else to stand away. So even though you do not own it, and even though you can't own it, still, somebody else is supposed to stay away. And that's the sugya of Oni Ma'apu B'charore U'Bo'acha V'Noitloi that Chazal say, Nikra Rosha. Now I want you to know that I've many times seen notices saying that this person is a Rosha. I'm sure if you went to Yerushalayim, you look at the walls there, plastered with all kinds of things that say, most of those people are not Rishoyim. They're actually fine, upstanding fellows. Maybe they're not so upstanding, but to be a Rosha is a very harsh term. We don't find it in Chazal many times. If you call someone a Rosha, Shaloi Kedin, Yordin L'chaiv, you have a right to try to put him, take away his panosa. That's how bad it is to call someone a Rosha. And Chazal give the title for someone who's in violation of this, Rosha. But this Rosha is not theoretical. The Agois Maimonides says that you become posul le'edus midirabonon. That means, if this person will be a witness by a kiddushin, that marriage will not happen. He's posul le'edus midirabonon. Except, any posul le'edus midirabonon had to be called out in Beis Medrash. He had to be mefarsamit. Otherwise, he's not posul le'edus. So the minig was, that used to be, in the shuls, the Rav would knock on the bima, and he would say, Ploini and Ploini, this fellow was a Oni Ma'apach B'charora. That's what it says in the Sma. If we would be doing that, our shuls would have half its attendance. The Rav would also be out of a job, and life would look differently. But this practice no longer practiced. But this is the idea of a Rosha. Now, it has its limitations. Beis Din cannot undo a transaction that came in violation of Oni Ma'abu B'charora. Because it's only a Yosha V'toiv, and Chazal do not allow us, most Rishonim say, to undo it. So, it will, if it happens, it happened. But a Beis Din will get involved to stop the person who was in the middle of doing, acting that way. They will stop him, and if he doesn't listen to a Beis Din, at that point, he becomes posul le'edus midrabanan. Because now, Beis Din was mafarsim that this person was in violation of this issur. And at that point, this person is not kosher le'edus. Headhunters, or people that work in the HR department, many times are taxed with doing a job on behalf of somebody else to be in violation of this issue. Because they're asked by them to reach out to an employee in some other company to try to poach him and get him. That headhunter says, I'm just paid to do my job. It's not for me. I'm not taking him. I didn't steal him. This guy did it. So that is in violation of an iser called Lifna Iva Lesitin Miksha. If you are the one who can get it done, and they're using your services to do this iser, the halacha is that you're not allowed to do it because of the iser of Lifna Iva. So if you are a broker, and somebody's looking to purchase a house, and you know that this house already reached the level where we can call it Oni Ma'apa B'charora, and you get involved to help him, you're in violation of the Issa called Lifne Iva Lisit Michel. Now it's an interesting thing. The person himself is going to be over Issa de Rabbanon, and you're going to be over possibly a Issa de Oiraisa of Lifne Iva Lisit Michel, because you gave him bad advice to be over Issa de Rabbanon, and the bad advice is Minatoyri. So here you have an interesting thing. You can be actually in a greater violation than the person who's doing this. Let's try to talk about the topic itself. What is Oni Ma'apa B'charora? So, Let's talk about a business transaction. Someone's about to buy a property. So, two people have a discussion. A buyer wants to buy, a seller wants to sell. They both have attorneys, they negotiate. Everyone's pasturing. Lawyers send, they have to send, you know, they have to complain, this is not, they have to show the other lawyer doesn't know what he's talking about, you know. Everyone goes through the spiel. And now the deal is negotiated. All the red lines are accepted. Everyone's good. We're ready to go. Fine. Meeting of the minds, everyone's good. And now another buyer shows up and he says, I hear you're about to go to contract to sell with this other guy. I'm offering you another $20,000. So this person is in violation of an issa called Oni Mahalpa Becharore. And he's Nikra Russia. This buyer is now deemed a Russia. You're in violation of this issa because once this person established a relationship with the seller, a meeting of the minds, to sell him something, one is not allowed to get involved in that transaction. And therefore, he's not allowed to do it. If the other person wants to stop him, a Bezdin will send him a hazmona and tell him, stop what you're doing. Cease and desist. You can no longer go after this property. Now, the seller is not in violation of anything. He can always try to sell it at a higher price. We're talking about the buyer. The buyer has no right to involve himself once a transaction has hit the level of Oni Ma'apa Becharora. Now, many times, people want to stop a transaction, not because they want the transaction for themselves. They have a reason why they don't want that transaction to happen. That, the Mashal says, is worse than Oni Ma'apa Becharora. Because you're actually not benefiting from it. You're just destroying. So if you do that, you're in greater violation of the issa of Oni Ma'apa Becharora. One who violated this halacha, he has to ask mechila. He needs tshuva on Yom Kippur, says the Mishnah Berurah. And if he actually took the property, and the person says to him, you did a havla, why'd you do that? So he says, you know what? You're right. I apologize. Nice, you apologize. You're sitting with the property. Give me the property. So al pi halacha, he has no right to the property, but he does not have to be moichel him until he gets the property. Says in Igris Moshe, the Ranach, you don't have to forgive him because he violated Oni Ma'apa. You can straighten it out. You want to straighten it out? Go ahead. But Oni Ma'apa Becharor does not mean that I expressed interest. Interest is not enough a connection with an item in order for you to say he's no longer, no one else can get involved. If a seller advertises something and a purchaser, a buyer says he wants to buy it and he comes and he's talking to him and they're negotiating. And in the middle of the negotiation, somebody else wants to come in, he may do so by all means. Even though that other person was first, the deal has not been finalized. There's no meeting of the mind on what the terms of the deal are. We haven't finalized that we're going through with the sale. We haven't come to all the terms of the sale. So long as the terms are not finalized, even though the guy's there, and even though he's a long way in, he already spent on the due diligence 2 months. But they still didn't finish negotiating. They're still fighting around on the price. The halacha is that that's not Oni Ma'apa Becharora. It's only once all the terms are finalized, there's a meeting of the minds, and simply what's missing is contractual transactions. They simply go through the finalization of the transaction. At that point, it's Oni Ma'apa Becharora, and one who gets involved is considered a Russian. I've been privy to transactions where two people wanted to purchase together something. And the last minute, after all the terms were finalized, one of the partners figured out how to get the other one out. And he took the whole deal for himself. That's an oni ma'apu b'charore. You had in a partnership. You had a deal with the other person. That under these terms, you're going to buy it together with him from this person. If you cut the other person out, you're now an oni ma'apu b'charore. The Prisha is a sefer written by the Sma. The Sma, I don't know if anyone knows who the Sma is, so I don't know if the Prisha is a good right. Say Sma and Prisha. If you take out a Shulchan Aruch or a Mishpat, I'm not sure anyone ever did that. But it's a good idea. Once in a while, take one out. A Shulchan Aruch or a Mishpat. Who's on the two sides of the Shulchan Aruch? So when I ask this question, I like to ask this question to many people. I ask them who we find on the two sides of the Shulchan Aruch. So usually in Aruch Chaim, most people get it right. And on one side is the Magen Avraham, and the other side is the Tirzov, the Taz. When you ask them a Chosh Mishpat, they're not sure. So the two sides of the Shulchan Aruch, one is the Shach, the Sif Sekoyim, and on the other side is the Sma. Sefer Meiris Einayim, Rabbi Yeshua Falk. He also wrote a Sefer Prisha on the tour. The tour was the prerequisite to the Shulchan Aruch. It was the work which the Shulchan Aruch worked off. And there the Prisha says an amazing thing. He says that even though one who did not reach final terms, we understand, should not be on Im Abba B'charor, but if it's clear beyond the shadow of a doubt that the terms will be finalized, everyone's just posturing, trying to see if they could wiggle in and get the best deal. But at the end of the day, this deal's happening. And even if the seller was adamant that he needs all these terms, the buyer's ready to buy it at those terms. Except that the buyer is still posturing. Says the Prisha, at that point, it's a problem. Many poskim say that one should be careful even for the priest. Though a bezdin will not declare him a onim abu b'charora, but it's something that will be the right thing for a person to avoid. So many times we have in the real estate industry, we have an LOI. Now an LOI is very, you know, not a very binding document. It's dreams, people's dreams. But sometimes the LOI is negotiated very well, and it's a very, very strong framework of the deal. So now it's only a question of finalizing it. At that point, according to the Prisha, one should not be getting involved, because we have people that are serious. They pretty much have a deal, and one should not take it away from them. When it comes to an employee, there is oni ma'apa b'charora as well for an employee. That means, if I have an employee, let's just, for arguments, make it simple, I have an employee, and I hire, you know, I'm going to pick a case that no one can argue. Let's take the case this. I hire a plumber. What's the problem? The plumber can fix a lot of toilets. The plumber, I call him up, I have an emergency. My building needs a repair today. So he tells him, I'm sorry, but today I told somebody else I'm coming to do his work. I can come to you tomorrow. Not in a gay. You're coming today. I give you business all year long. I'm a good customer. You make sure you're here today. So he nicely picks up the phone. He calls the other side. He says, an emergency happened. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to make it today. I'll do you tomorrow. This person was in violation of the Isavoni Ma'al Bukharor. Why? We had a commitment. He's coming today. I hired him for today to come fix my building. And I just stole this work from him. Now, not for tomorrow, but for today. So he's going to have the employee, but not for today. I just took an employee from somebody. He's somebody else's employee for today. Now, Did he start a job? No. Did he sign a contract? No. But we had a verbal commitment with a finalized terms. There was no terms to be made. He's going to fix my toys and he charges me the charges that he usually charges per hour. It's over. At that point, if somebody takes him away, it's only ma'abu b'charor. So if you take him now to yours because you, I have an emergency, you get it done today, you're only ma'abu b'charor. Now, if you get the other person's okay to do so, you can know your way when there's a, everyone agrees. But really, you're in violation of taking away someone's employee for today. If the goy is an employee, 100%. If the taking him away from a goy is your question. So the halacha is that only ma'abu charoris, since it's not a choshem mishpat, it's not stealing, it's yosha v'toiv, it's only between two Jews. The goyim do not appreciate, they don't have any such halachas. So therefore, there's no issue. But if you're taking him away from a person, a Jew who hired him for that day, you would be in violation of only ma'abu charoris. So, what?
Most people are dark.
Yeah. So if the answer is you really don't know, and you don't want to ask, you know, you could ask, who am I taking him away from? But some people like to wink. They don't want to ask. So if you really know that you should be winking, then you shouldn't be doing it. And if you really don't know, I just, you know, why should I think and just drive the guy crazy? Then I agree that there will not be an issue. But if you really believe that you're about to take this guy away from somebody else, and you really have a smell that he works primarily with Jews, then yes, then you should make sure that you're not taking him away from a Jew.
So this is if you know there, let's say you're going back to a deal for a second. You have to know that there's a deal going on.
Oh, so he's asking a very important question. I skipped it originally, but I'll come back to it because he's asking the question, and it's an important question. The answer is, you don't have to know. And there's no issa to go into a deal because maybe there's somebody already that was ma'abah. So the answer is, you don't have to, and you're allowed to go into the deal. But if you do find out a middle before you actually do it, that there's another Jew involved, you have to remove yourself. Because even though you went in Betmibus, you're now in, you heard, you gotta go out. And therefore, you're gonna have to leave. Now, what happens if not, it's not what happened? You went and you bought the deal. It's gone. Later, somebody comes to you and he says, you know what you did? You stole my deal. Do you have to do tshuva? That's a machloikis. The Chemdes Shloime says, no, you were in Shoigik. You couldn't do anything about it. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igris Moshe and the Rishonim, because the case of the Gemara of Onim Abu Gharara was a Shoigig. And they learned that the Gemara is saying that you're Onim Abu Gharara. So even if you did it by mistake, you'll have to do tshuva. So it goes so far according to most Poiskim. The Chemdes Shloime holds not like that. I had a story. I'll tell you a story that I myself was asked. The story was, a person was, they had a title insurance company. They provide title insurance. They also provide some other services. One of the services they provide is putting up capital for a closing, for a soft deposit. A lot of the title insurance companies offer such a service. The soft deposit, they put up the money. So when somebody asks them for the soft deposit, that's a way to get the guy to give you title. That's, you know, the lead into the door. So they gave him the soft deposit. They said, what about title? He said, no, we had to give the title to some goyish title agency. We have a commitment to them. We can't give it to you. Later, when he gets the paperwork, which was something that he needed to do to get the soft deposit, he sees in the paperwork that this guy is doing something else. He's not being the title agency. So he calls up the Yid and tells him, you told me this guy's getting title. It doesn't look like it. He's doing something else. Oh, you're right. I made a mistake. Okay, we'll give you the title. Fine. He gets the title. As he's working on it, he notices that there was another Jewish agent's title agency that was given the job before him. So now he wants to know, do I have to pull out? What happened? They didn't want to tell him that they were using the other Jewish title agency because then he wouldn't give them the soft deposit. So they told him they're giving it to a goy. Meantime, there was another Jewish agency that was supposed to get the title. He was a violation of Oni Mahapa Becharor. Now, he didn't know, but he found out before he actually gave them the title. So at this point, he's mechuyev to pull back, say the other company gets the title, and leave, so he shouldn't be in violation of Oni Mahapa Becharor. I think, let's move a little. I'll take some questions, because they say the clock is your worst enemy. It keeps moving. Now, Oni Mahapa Becharora also applies on money. What do I mean? They said before, the one who introduced himself said he does financial planning, means we're all looking for clients to give us money. Now, money is money, but we're looking for people to invest with us. So if I need someone to invest with me, and I take him away from somebody else, even though I'm not taking an item away, I'm taking a client who has money away, that as well is Oni Ma'apa B'charora. So let's say somebody has a 1031 exchange. He needs done. He just sold the property. So these people are desperate. They need to invest their money. Chaz v'sholom to pay Uncle Sam taxes. Terrible. It's from the Sholosh Averis Chamuros. It's a total avera to pay taxes to the U.S. government. So we have to roll the money quickly, and we have to designate a property ASAP. So these people are the best people to have because they're desperate. They even take deals that they lose money on just not to give you. So now, this person has a 1031 agent who says to him, I'm ready. He has a property for him. And he's ready. And the other guy finds out through the grapevine that this guy has a 1031 exchange. He has $5 million to invest. He runs them to get the deal. You're in violation of Oni Ma'apa B'charora. If he already finalized the deal. Now, if he didn't finalize the deal and he didn't make up a specific deal, he just said, look, find me a property, that's nothing. But if he designated a property and they negotiated on which terms and what percentage he's getting, and everything's finalized, they simply didn't sign off on it, at this point, he's Oni Ma'apa B'charora. Now, I'm going to give you an amusing case. Some people find it amusing. Some people find it disturbing. But I'm going to say it anyway. A Yid walks into a store. This story goes better with ladies. A lady goes into a store, and she's ready to buy a bottle of milk because the men don't end up in the store very much in the groceries. So they come in, and they're ready to buy a bottle of milk. Picks up a bottle of milk. A friend picks up a bottle. She says, it's not necessary. I have in my fridge 10 bottles. I have nothing to do with it. Either they're offering it for free, or I'll pay the meter price. But why buy up in the store? They were just in violation of Oni Ma'apa B'charora U'ba'achal Enoitlai. This person picked up a bottle of milk to buy it. He finalizes, no terms. The terms are whatever the cost of the bottle of milk is. They picked up the thing. At this point, if you take them away, even if you're going to offer them for free, so that means not you're going to gain, so it's even worse if you're going to gain and sell your bottle of milk so you gain something. So you say, but it's my friend. So you're deciding which blood is purer, your friends or the store owner. The bottom line is, the store owner is there to make business, he's there to sell. He had his hands on the $2.90. This bottle of milk probably went out, it's $10. But whatever the bottle of milk cost, and you took that customer away from them. So that again would be Oni Ma'apa B'charora Ba'achav Enoitlai. Again, some people are very bothered by this story. It happens to be. If the person in their mind was looking to go to bottle of milk, then it makes a difference. If they picked up the bottle, let's say before they picked up the bottle, they stretched out their hand to bottle of the bottle, it's the same thing. But if they're walking down the aisles, and it happens to be they were planning to buy a bottle of milk, that's nothing. It has to be that there's a plausible action that you interacted with the store owner, just walking around their store wouldn't be a problem. But if they actually picked it up, so I'll tell you a story. A yid walked into the store, he wanted to buy a book. He walks over, he looks at the books, and he sees a book that really looks good, his advertisement, he picks up the book. Then a friend comes to him and tells him, this book, there's nothing in it. It's not worth reading. He puts it down. You just took away a sale. The guy had a sale. If the book, if this, you're right, if this amount of dollars are the same, you're good to go. But if you discourage the person not to do business, now, he says, yeah, but it's not a good book. That's your opinion. If the person is fooling him, he's about to pick up something and it's just faulty, and they're really fooling the person, of course, then it's a mitzvah to tell him not to buy it because you're stopping the store owner from defrauding him. But outside of that, someone who gets involved and stops the sale, on him out of the corona. So now the people are going to start thinking where they go. On him out of the corona, it's all a mindset. Getting used to the fact that when people interact with somebody in a finalized way to do business, do not take it away. Not unless the doesn't meet the bar of Onim Ab Bacharora. Now, if a seller shows, if the buyer, let's talk about the seller. If I have Onim Ab situation, I'm about to buy a property, and the seller expresses interest, even though he's in the middle of negotiating with this guy, and he has a finalized terms, but he's not an honest seller, like unfortunately many are. And he was looking for other buyers. There's no Oni Ma'abu B'charora to get involved. It's only so long as the seller is happy with this buyer. If the seller, even though he's negotiating not in an honest way, he comes to terms with this guy, but he's still looking for another buyer, or he expresses interest in another buyer without being approached, without being coerced, or without being pressurized, he simply is looking for other buyers, the halacha is that that's not Oni Ma'abu B'charora. So
just back to the book situation.
So yeah.
You're about to buy a book or make an investment, and then he asks you for advice.
100%. Very good point. If somebody asks you for advice, he's about to invest and ask you advice, not only should you, it's a mitzvah to tell him if you hold that you're saying honest advice, you're mekayim a mitzvah of giving good etzes. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadik Zayin, Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says actually that's an act of chesed to give people good advice. And if you give people bad advice, it's lifnei evil l'sit michshel. So you have to give good advice, but that case you're right, because the buyer is saying, I'm not happy yet. I haven't made up my mind. I'm reaching out to you to give me advice. Of course, you're allowed to give advice. Yes?
So in the case of the milk...
One second, who is the person I stopped before from the question? Because once I'm asking everybody else, I have to answer him. Go ahead.
Let's go back to coaching for a second. How do you hire a pro competitor? What he's going to do is going to look through LinkedIn...
So I gave a shiur in Lakewood to a group of headhunters 2 months ago. Happens to be that these headhunters are only women. They're exceptionally good. And they dominate the market in Lakewood for lady employees. So far, they don't have a men's division. Now, I gave them a share, and they are in full compliance with halacha. They are super careful. And the answer is this. Headhunters do not have to approach other people. They get plenty calls from people. One. Two.
Those calls come from sending out mass emails.
Mass emails, we'll talk about in a moment. So really, I think we may be jumping the gun. So let's first start. So if we're gonna get into poaching now, maybe we should because the time is anyways running out. Let's talk about poaching directly. We'll talk about it and I'll explain to you. First, the first thing is, an employee, an Oni Ma'apach, we have to define Oni Ma'apach because we didn't get a chance to define it fully yet. Oni Ma'apach means I do something that's targeted. That means, if I, just for an example, have, I'm going to have to try to cover a lot of ground, so bear with me. Let's go first for a moment to the business that this fellow here does. He does money management, okay? Now, let's say I have a discussion with this person, and I say to him, he has $1 million to invest. What do I do with it? We have a discussion about $1 million. Now, he's his client. $1 million. Now, he has another $1 million. It comes to this second $1 million, comes another person. He says, I hear you have $1 million you want to invest. Or maybe you're interested in investing money. He says, I'll tell you the truth. I already invested with the Rappaports. I have $1 million. I'm happy there. I have much better products. Come to me. Don't keep your $1 million with him. The second million, come to me. That is not Oni Ma'aba B'charora. Now, I said a statement here. It's not Oni Ma'aba B'charora because that $1 million was never on the table yet. People are not owned with Oni Ma'aba B'charora. Money is owned by Oni Ma'aba B'charora. A deal, a specific, is Oni Ma'aba B'charora. A human, a contact, is not Oni Ma'aba B'charora. Now, if he's a very loyal customer, there's a new topic that's related to Oni Ma'aba B'charora, and it's called Marufya. It's an Arabic word, and it means a steady customer. A Marufya is this dispute, four opinions in the Ramah, in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, whether there's a problem to steal a loyal customer. A loyal customer means he's done business at least 3 times. And he's never done business since then with somebody else. Because otherwise he's not loyal. Loyalty is almost something that had an expiration date, unfortunately. Maybe again in Baltimore the people are different. I'm talking with the hard line New Yorkers. So, what? It's getting bad here too. Okay. So unfortunately, these things are spreading. Loyalty is difficult. But assuming I have a loyal customer, he's mine, he's a client, he's done 3 times business with me, he does not do business with somebody else in this thing. Now he doesn't do any business. Means in this thing, he doesn't do business with anybody else. Then, 4 opinions. L'chatchila, one should not approach him. One should not approach him. Because there's many, many reasons why, especially in things that people only use Jews and not goyim to do, which is today becoming more prevalent. Let's say, in money management, in the from world that I'm from, very few people use goyim because there's some trust that they feel. And if that's the case, you're taking away somebody that's by a Jew who no other guy will get away. So you're simply taking away a client. It's definitely not preferable. Can I say he's a Russian? No, definitely not. But it's not the right thing to do. But I'm allowed to advertise that I do money management. I'm not Oni Ma'aba B'charora. And the reason is, because if I advertise, that's not called luring him away. It's called letting people know that I do it. And the person will come to me only if the person is not 100% sure that he's happy with the other person. And therefore, that's his decision to come to me. If I send out a mass mailing, I believe as well that that's not considered luring people away. If you give a targeted message, even if you don't pick up the phone, but you have a targeted message to this person, where you make presentations, that's considered luring him away, and that would not be okay. But that's Oni Ma'apach. I'm sorry, that's not Oni Ma'apach. That's Marufi, what we called. A loyal client, a customer. Now, so again, I just said, if you're dealing, it has to be specific business to be Oni Ma'apach. It's a person, Let's talk about employment for a moment. If I have someone under contract for 1 year, next year he's not hired by me. So it would not be on him to hire him for next year. Why? Because I never hired him for next year. For next year he has no contract. So I can take him away for next year, except if he's loyal and he's been there 3 years and we know he's not looking, Bakasha, you have the marufya question. But only ma'apak you do not have because he never dealt with him over that year. But today's employees that are hired at will and fired at will, they have no contract. The Marshal says very clearly that such a person is considered oni ma'apach forever. Because basically, it's a relationship that doesn't end. He's in my place, he's working for me, and now it's already oni ma'apach. And that's much more chomer. When it comes to oni ma'apach, it's more chomer than a marufya. And therefore, one should not reach out to him on a targeted way. But if I send out mass emails, or I send out advertisement that we have jobs, and this person decides that means that he's looking for a job, or if he expresses to his friend that he's looking for a job, or this is already a chiddush of mine, if you're underpaying him in today's market, you're really underpaying him, he's looking for another job. Because everybody knows that today is an employee's world, and they know that there's better pay out there. And therefore, if you're way out of market, not a little bit, if you're a little bit below, there's some value of staying comfortable in the place. He's loved after looking for this. But if you're way below, you can assume. So headhunters that are erlich operate that way. Now, there is a way for a headhunter, if he has a hunch that somebody's looking for something, he can send another person, not a headhunter, an outside person, to ask him nonchalantly, not that I have an offer, I have a headhunter. Are you happy? Are you looking to live? I believe that's a soft touch. If it's done correctly, now, you have to be very careful because you do it a little too much, you're going to be in violation of Onim Ha'apach. But if you do a soft touch, and the person says, yeah, he's looking for another job, that means he's looking for another job. And that as well would not be a violation of Onim Ha'apach B'charore. So there are ways to do this, but it's not a hefker. You can't just go around looking for the best employees and set headhunters to go after them and try to get the one that you want from somebody else. That would be a violation of Onim Ha'apach B'charore.
Yeah.
That, I believe, would be a problem. It would, yeah. If this person doesn't know that it's not a mass email, then it means that it's a personal email. That's called luring him away.
Find the software that will make it look a little more personal, pay that much more money.
That's correct, but that would be poaching. That's called onim al-bukharor. When I mean mass emails, I mean mass emails that are nicker, that another few hundred people just got this. And that means it's like advertisement. But when we target people to go after other people's employees that are happy. Now again, I know it's a challenge. Now some people use, there is an exclusion for Ani Ma'abu B'charora, just to be honest, that we have an honest conversation. There is a heter in Ani Ma'abu B'charora called a metzia. Even though you're not allowed to be Ma'abu B'charora, if something is a metzia, what's a metzia? So the simple metzia is, the case of the Gemara is that it's something that's for free. You can't get something that's for free someplace else. And now there's something here for free and someone was mahapach. One is, according to Rashi, one's not allowed to take it away. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, you are. And we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. So you're allowed to. The Igros Moshe and the Shulchan Aruch Rav say a Yerushalayim should not do so. But we can't say that he's in violation of Halacha if it's a metzia. Now, the next step is, you can have a metzia in Mekachomemke. What's the case? Says the Ramov, let's say I want to buy a property that's next door to my property. Right next door. Now, That is a unique buy because I can attach it to my other property. So usually that's governed by the halachas of bar mitzvah, which is a sugya for itself. But we're talking about that a goy owns the property, and the halacha is by a goy, there's no bar mitzvah. So, if the goy is the seller, someone else was mahapach, and I find out that my property next door to my property is up for sale. The Rama says one's allowed to take it away, even though there's only mahapach, because it's considered a metzia. If it's bezoil, if it's very cheap, way out of market, it doesn't have any rationalization in the market, that as well would be considered a metzia. That's what the Rama holds. The Shach says one should not do that. So, these are the parameters. Now, when it comes to employees, some people say, this employee, he's a metzia. They don't exist, such employees, any place in the world.
He doesn't say that he's not a good head out
there. What?
He doesn't say that he's not a good head out there.
Correct. Shortages are not a metzia. The reason is because every day employees are hired. You just have to work harder. Again, employees are being employed and employers are having employees. Now the question is, if they're a little understaffed, they're a little... If your business is about to fail, one second, I will say, if your business is about to fail, and if you don't tomorrow put an employee, your business is going to crumble, I consider that a metzia. But when you hit that bar, you call a rough. I don't like people making up that. I mean to say it's like this. It's a delicate thing, and it needs the question of a rough, because you're like, the rough said here, when you, Chayshem Mishpat is unique. Everybody has a bias, number one. Second of all, everyone holds he knows Chayshem Mishpat, because Chayshem Mishpat is common sense. Who doesn't have common sense? I don't. The rough doesn't have common sense. I have common sense. So it's very hard to talk to people. But to be honest, you have to ask a rov. But if it's a metzia, there is a heter. Now, an employee to be a metzia, Rabbi Yashiv says on a case, the story was they had a butcher, butchering meat is a very big umnus. You have to know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. You think you just chop? No, you got to know how to take a piece of meat. A skirt steak, man. I don't know if it's kosher, but if it's kosher, to make it, it becomes a job. How you do it? So what do? You have to know. So they hired this guy. He's the... So Rabbi Yashu says, it's only Ma'apach Harori. He doesn't want to hear stories that this guy... Because there's other butchers. You tell me he's a metzia. Why is he a metzia? He's a metzia because he's very good. There are other good, very good people. That is not going to come easy. So you'll work a little harder. A metzia doesn't mean that. A metzia means something that's unique that you can't find someplace else. Or it's very highly improbable you'll find it someplace else.
I've done a market shortage.
I know your market shortage.
There just aren't enough butchers. Some people aren't going to get butchers.
The answer is that the stores didn't close down yet.
But in my industry, places close down.
Yeah. They're closing down because there's no employees. I haven't heard yet. Again, I'm not the only person on the block. I haven't heard an industry close down. But if you tell me that the situation where people are going to close down because they simply don't have an employee, and without this employee, they're in danger of closing down, I will agree it's a metzia. I'm going to stop at that. If you have a specific question, do not use what I just said here to... I give a disclaimer. Whoever's going to use me, let me give me the opportunity to be used. Talk to me. I get used every day by different people, but I appreciate at least when they talk to me. So if you have a question specific, we can address it. But in theory, a person, most cases, now I'll tell you a case that's a metzia. It's a story that I was involved in. But it's so sad. It's such an avla that I have a hard time saying it. Someone hired a company to perform services, billing services. Like, you have nursing homes, they have these billing companies. So the billing company is not working out, and the nursing home no longer wants this billing company. So he says, I have to go on my own. But you know what it is to put together a team to do billing? Not a problem. I hire all the people that worked for the building company. They're a metziah. They know my business. They know everything. There's nothing that they don't know. It's seamless. All I have to do is just put them in a new office. And we're ready to go. Bekachavi, he did that. So, is he on Imahava Bechararin? It's a metziah. Huh? Dayan doesn't like it. I don't either. Don't worry. I didn't sleep so good that night. And the answer is, I believe that this is worse. And it's a whole different, I tell you, to give a shiur on Onim Abba Charori, I have to give 8 shiurim, not 1. But the answer is, there is a toisvis, a Masech the Kedushin, that he brings from Rabbeinu Meir, Oviv Shal Rabbeinu Tam. It was Rabbeinu Meir who was the father of the Rabbeinu Tam. And he says that if a person, I'm going to give you a story, a person took a piece of a fish, he threw it in as bait, a worm. No, he put a worm on his fishing rod. He threw it in as bait. All the fish came. Another guy comes in. He swoops up all the fish and he runs off. So the guy says, "Oni ma b'charori." He says, "Fish are hefke. They are matir. Sorry, there's enough fish out there. Go catch your own." He says, "But hello, I put the bait here. I brought the fish." Says, "Over a minute of time, this is a problem." Because since I created this benefit. It wasn't a benefit that was here and I just found it first. I created something because I brought all the fish to this spot. That is worse. You can't take it away, at least when it's umnasa v'kaf. That means if it's something that this is my business, I'm a fisherman, you can't do it. So this story was I created a team. It's my business. And you simply picked it up. I moved it over to you. I held in such a case, you do not have the heta of metziah, and therefore the person was in violation of this halacha. But again, it becomes complex. I'll agree. Please reach out to your local rabbi. There's plenty of them in Baltimore. I think I went over my time. You should all have atzlocha. You should do your business beheta v'loy be'isa, and you should have lots of bracha b'masi yedecha.